Romans chapter 12 is where we're going to be this evening. And I'm just going to be up front with you. I'm going to get a little probably controversial tonight, so let's just so you know. I just thought I'd say that straight up there so you know. But I'll try to do it in a friendly way. But anyway, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Lord, help us to learn something tonight that will help us as believers. And Lord, as Christians, just help us, Lord, to pay real close attention. I ask that your Holy Spirit would work in hearts and minds. I do pray that you would speak through me, and that you use me as I speak this evening. Pray that my listeners would get the truths that we're trying to accomplish here, that we would put aside our preferences and tastes and things like that, and that they would focus on you and get what you would have for us tonight. And Lord, that you'd use the message in our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells us here in the second verse that we are not to be conformed to this world. There's a lot of conforming to the world that's going on amongst believers today. And I don't think I have to tell you that. It's something that is pretty obvious. And because of the condition of our nation and country, we can see that is really a prevalent problem. And it's epidemic. And it has been going on for quite a while. The idea of being conformed to this world is making or letting the world shape you into what you are. If I were to take some Play-Doh, which some of you play with that on a regular basis. I hope none of the adults do, but sometimes the kids will play with Play-Doh and they'll put it in their hands and they'll stick their fingers in it and squeeze it real tight. And then when they let their fingers go, their finger impressions remain in the clay or in the Play-Doh. And that's the idea that we're trying to get across here, is that the world will conform us into its image. It's not that we are conforming ourselves or making the world conform to us. It's that we are conformed to the world. Now, the Bible is pretty clear that the world is something that we should, as believers, avoid, that we should be running away from. We shouldn't have a part of the world. Otherwise, we will look like the world. We will act like the world. And according to the passage here, it says that we will not be able to find out what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So being conformed to the world is a very serious problem. So having said that, I want to talk about one of the ways in which Christians today have allowed themselves to be conformed to the world. Now, I want you to just think with me tonight. I don't want you to get mad at me for what I'm going to say. I want you to think with me. Okay, now I've set you up. We're going to talk about music tonight. Silence. I'm already getting death stares from people. Okay. Don't get mad at me yet, all right? Just think about what I'm going to say here tonight and just be open-minded about what I'm talking about here, because this is an issue in which many believers have conformed themselves to the world and the world's thinking. And it does impact everything that we do. So let's start off here by just laying a foundation if we can. First of all, I want you to see that music is a language. Music is a language. Music says something. Our music communicates something. Now, when we communicate something, we automatically enter into the realm of morality. It's either right or it's wrong. You can't just communicate something without it saying anything good or bad. Okay, there's nothing neutral about our communication. For instance, even if I say the word hi in a certain way, it can be taken in a moral or immoral way. You say like what? Well, how about hi? Friendly, sweet, nice, and kind. All right, is that not moral? Okay, is that good or bad? Okay, it's good. What if I walk up and say hi? What have I done? Have I communicated something? Yeah, absolutely. Was it bad or good? It was bad. What if I walk in and go, hi? Now everybody's really uncomfortable. And I am too. Okay. I have entered into morality. It doesn't matter what it is. Okay, what I say, it's automatically going to be moral or immoral. Well, the same thing is true about music. Our music will be moral or it'll be immoral. It'll be good or it will be bad. It's interesting, Napoleon, the famous general, figured this out. He understood the enormous power of music. And through his statement, you can't really see how somebody could think that music doesn't have any moral message to it. He summed it up by saying, "Give me control over he who shapes the music of a nation, and I care not who makes the laws." Music is a powerful tool and can be used for good or for evil. And people have understood this down through history and used it to their advantage. This week I was doing some study for this, and I came across an interesting topic of research, I guess, that they did in South Africa. And they recently did this study on fetuses in the womb. And they basically proved that babies can hear music in the womb, can discern between a male and a female, between the mom and the dad, and whether the music can soothe or stimulate the baby based upon the heart rate. They put a little tiny microphone up on the baby's neck there in the womb, and they just observed things, and they could hear a mother singing very well outside of the womb. They could hear certain kinds of music. They also monitored the baby's heart rate, and when certain styles of music were played, the baby's heart rate went up, because it was lively, wild, crazy, whatever. And when they played other kinds of music that were calm and relaxing, the heart rate of the baby went down. So what that says to me is that we as people are connected to music even before we come out of the womb. Did you know, I've actually heard this before, a lady who was a maternity nurse. She said there was a baby that was born one day, and when the baby came out of the womb, there was absolutely nothing they could do to calm that baby down. It was wild, just screaming at the top of their lungs. And they tried everything. They soothed, they did everything they could to try to calm the baby down, until somebody turned on heavy metal rock music. The baby just calmed right down. You know what that tells me? That tells me that baby was addicted to heavy metal rock music even before it was born. And don't tell me that music doesn't have an effect on people. Don't tell me it doesn't have an effect on babies, because it does. So even before we're born, it's a powerful tool, and it shows us that God made us to respond to sound even before we're born, specifically music. So then, if music is moral or immoral, then the things that we say, the things that we communicate, should then be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. Psalm 19, verse 14. You know the verse. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I should not base what I believe and what I think God says, what my music is like or what it should be like, based upon my feelings and my desires. I should base it upon what God thinks. I should look at this kind of music that I'm listening to and say, "God, is this acceptable in your sight?" Now, what we say should not just acknowledge God, but it should actually be acceptable to Him. What we communicate should be pleasing to the Lord, and what we think about should be pleasing to the Lord. Certain kinds of music communicate certain things, and other kinds of music communicate still other things. And these communications can be either acceptable in God's eyes, or they can be unacceptable in God's eyes. Again, there's the matter of morality. So music can affect my thinking, so I should think right. And I should listen to the right kind of music so that I do think right. People that sing will demonstrate through their lifestyle. People that are involved, musicians, will demonstrate actually through their lifestyle what they've been meditating on. This is often affected by their music. It's interesting, if you study certain composers or certain arrangers or whatever, you'll find that the music that they had composed at that specific time or that song or whatever was a reflection on what was going on in their life at that moment. Certain people who went through some real tumultuous times in their lives and different things that were going on, and you can just sense it in what they were writing there. There was either depression, discouragement, maybe excitement, energy, something like that. And it comes out in what they write when it comes to their music. So it's amazing how music affects us in our communication. So not only does the music communicate something, but the words also communicate something. Many songs don't say the right things. There are lots of words out there, and I don't have to tell you this, but there's a lot of words out there that are filled with filth and cursing and things like that. These words should be acceptable to the Lord as well. So what the music communicates should ultimately be acceptable to God. In other words, it should please Him. Now this speaks of the sound of music, and there are certain styles of music that communicate certain things. Their goal is to communicate certain things. Some communicate depression. Some communicate sensuality. Others communicate blatant immorality. Some will cause confusion and disorder and perhaps even incite violence in some way or another. Look, that doesn't please the Lord, not at all. It should not. Our kind of music choices should communicate that which is right and that which is good and that which is pleasing to the Lord. So then our music will also have a profound impact on our thinking and our behavior. Did you know that Albert Einstein was a very poor student? Did you know that? As brilliant as he was, Einstein was a very poor student. He was so bad that they tried to kick him out of the school. And they said, "You are not a candidate for learning." So he went home and his mother made him play the violin. And he began to take violin lessons. He began to be fairly good at it. But they found that when Einstein would play music, his thinking changed. And as a result, he was able to connect the dots to certain things. In fact, when he got quite older and he was coming up with all of these amazing equations and all of these incredible things that Mrs. Stratton can do, just like that. She doesn't even think about it. This is our Mrs. Einstein here. Anyway, the things that she doesn't even think about, those things that Einstein was doing, he would oftentimes figure those things out while he was playing the violin. Interesting. So music affected his behavior. It is said that Thomas Jefferson, when he was writing the Constitution, would often play music at the same time, get out his violin and play. And he used music to write some of the parts of the Constitution. One example of the profound impact that music has on thinking and behavior was George I, King George I of England. He had some problems with memory loss and stress management. And one day in particular, he was reading in the Bible, and he came across the place where King Saul was troubled by an evil spirit, and the evil spirit of God came upon him. And he called, and the Bible says it came to pass that David played with his harp. And as he played, that Saul was made well, and the evil spirit departed from him. And King George looked at that, and he said, "You know, maybe I should try music." And he did. And King George recognized that the music that Saul was listening to helped him overcome his problems. And so, with the story in mind, King George asked George Frederick Handel to write some special music for him that could help him in the same way that music helped Saul. And so, George Frederick Handel wrote his famous Water Music for this purpose, to help King George to be able to focus and to help him with his memory loss and stress management. Music has tremendous impact, profound thinking on behavior. Now, I could go on and on and on about that with many different examples, but the point is this. Music communicates something because music is a language. And that communication, whatever it is, should always, always, always be acceptable and pleasing to God. Otherwise, we as Christians are going to find ourselves becoming conformed to the world. And therefore, according to this passage in Romans 12, we will not know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's a very serious matter. Now, let's move on here. There are many kinds of music that displease the Lord. I'm going to get into some specifics here, okay? And this is where you may have a problem with what I say, but that's all right. Let's just think about it. And I want you to think logically with me here as well as spiritually. How about the music that we often refer to as rock music? Rock music uses a beat that is fleshly. You say, well, how do you know about that? It's called a backbeat, but the emphasis from the music is put in the wrong place. If you were to listen to the choir sing, or hear a piano player sing or play, or look at the songs and the music, there are certain beats in the music that are naturally dominant. Okay, let me give you an example. Let's just use Mary Had a Little Lamb. There are certain beats in the music that are dominant. So in other words, if you sing the song, Mary had a little lamb. Should we sing it together? Okay, let's not do that. Mary had a little, there we go. Okay, so there's natural dominant beats. It's on the first part of the measure as well as the middle part. So the one and the three. So if I counted it in four, one, two, three, four. Mary had a little lamb, like that. Okay, so there's your natural dominant beat. If you take the emphasis, the beat, and you put it in the unnatural part of the measure, which would be the unnatural beat, it changes everything. It changes the dominance of the song, and it changes the way that you think and feel. Okay, let me do it for you. Mary had a little lamb. Now, what am I doing? I can't stand still when I do that. Can you? It's very hard. Mary had a little lamb. That's how I feel. That's what I want to do. Okay. Well, that's where the beat is placed. Okay, it's put on those off beats, and so it puts the system in a natural state of imbalance, if you will. Now, can you reverse your thinking and think it's fine to listen to music like that? And absolutely. People do it every day, and that's how people become addicted to it. But it goes against God's natural progression or God's natural order. So the effects of rock music, then, are stunning. But they're also undeniable. The sound, then, at its core, is sensual because it pleases the flesh. It goes after the flesh. So, basically, what the sound is trying to do is get you to move. Move in a unnatural way. Okay? When people are responding to rock music, what are they doing? By and large, what are people doing? They're dancing, okay? Now, would you consider that dancing to be pure, lovely, something that's pleasing and acceptable to the Lord? Yes or no? Just think about it. Let's be honest about it. Usually not. They're not. Why? Because their body is responding fleshly or sensually to the music. So then we have to ask the question, is that acceptable to the Lord, or is that conforming to the world? They did a study where they put rats in a two-sided maze. And one side, they played Bach. And on the other side, they played rock. Okay, so it was Bach and rock versus each other there. And they wanted to see how the rats would respond. And in the middle, they put a door. And the rats could go in between and in and out as much as they want to. Well, they watched the rats for a while, but just about every single time they did this experiment, they lasted for several minutes, playing the music, blaring one way or the other. And every time, the rats ended up going over to the box side. interesting. Now, why? Well, it's because it goes against the rat's natural progression or feelings as well. It's not just human beings, it's every creature. I got another study, and I'll tell you about that here in a little bit. But people often respond in a violent way to rock music. Now you say, is this true about every time? Not every time, no. But because the music puts the body in a state of imbalance or an unnatural progression, that's what happens, which, my friends, is not pleasing to the Lord. How about another style of music? We call this country western. Well, now we're meddling a little bit here. This kind of music is basically rock music with a southern twang to it. If you listen to it, you'll hear that there's the beat of the rock beat in it. And it really is just as bad musically because the rock beat is there. And the lyrics can be just as filthy, if not more so, than rock music at times. And I believe to listen to country is to conform to the world. And studies have shown that country affects suicide rates, promotes sensuality, promiscuity, speaks positively of divorce and remarriage, speaks positively about drinking and drugs, and encourages general wrong behavior among people. Country is not what I would call as clean as motherhood and apple pie, as people wanted to make it out to be. Then we come to the style we call jazz. Jazz is an interesting study. If you look at it for any length of time, you'll find that basically its foundations were questionable. But if you study out that the purpose of it was for central reasons as well. Let me read you a quote here. Jazz emerged out of ragtime at the turn of the century, which people have called ragtime something that I won't repeat here. At the turn of the century, during a tumultuous period of urban and industrial growth. In the 1920s, jazz symbolized the cultural struggle between modernists and traditionalists. This period in American history has been coined the Jazz Age, as the new jazz music was, in part, a rejection of what traditionalists thought music was supposed to be. It was a metaphor for the rejection, here it is, of Victorian values, which dominated 19th century American life. So what they're saying here is jazz was made to reject Victorian values. Now you say, what are Victorian values? Well, if you look at the examples of Victorian morality, which they call Victorian values, here they are. Sexual propriety, hard work, honesty, thrift, sense of duty and responsibility toward those less well off. Religion, morality, elitist thinking, industrialization all played an important role in the formation of what we know today as the Victorian era morality. It changed England totally by altering the very thread of social interaction, mores and traditions. So basically, what Victorian morality was, summed up, it was basically people living a moral lifestyle that was good and clean. They abided by the laws of the land. They worked hard. They were honest. They were thrifty. They didn't just spend like they wanted to. They had a sense of duty and a sense of responsibility toward those people that were less well off, and they took care of their families. So jazz was made to reject all of that. It was designed to say, you know, we're going to get rid of all these Victorian values, Victorian morality. That's what we're trying to do with this music. Now, if that doesn't put a big question mark in your brain about what jazz is for, then I don't know what will. Because jazz is something, I believe, that has contributed to the moral decline of our society. Now you say, come on, you're being too picky about this. Why is that the case? I'm just telling you what they said. I'm just telling you what they say. And we as Christians need to be careful that we're not listening to things that will be unacceptable to the Lord. By the way, it was the same Victorian morality that many believe was the basis for the beliefs of people like Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, two wicked men whose beliefs have caused more harm in the world than anybody else that we will ever know. So today, people just think that Jazz is another form of music that is part of the very fabric of our society. After all, the United States government has put their stamp of approval on it and made it an official style of music. But in the 1950s and 60s, this style led to the loosening of moral standards in our society and paved the way for blatant immorality, what they call free love and anti-rules hippie movement of the 60s and 70s. The main music of this movement was rock and roll. It's interesting to note that just about all the studies show that jazz and classical music have the same effect on the brain, but one encourages wrong thinking and the other doesn't. How about rhythm and blues? It's another style of music. It's foundation, really, for rock music. It's where it came from. The description explains what it is. Rhythm and blues, the instrumentation was carried over into the rock category of music, the rock style. R&B, as it is called, is really no different than rock. Some of the famous R&B artists that we would know, that we perhaps would recognize their names, modern era here, would be like Prince, Stevie Wonder, Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, none of which I would consider to be good, upstanding Christians. Would you? I'm not trying to be unkind. I mean, that's the way it is. So rhythm and blues, another style of music. There's lots of categories underneath these. How about rap music? Rap music, this raunchy music, is hard rock, basically. A lot of it is, and most of it is laced with profanity and immoral themes, yet many teens and adults listen to it today. They love it. It's part of their life. Some of the most profane, foul-mouthed, promiscuous people are rap artists, many of whom have found themselves on the wrong side of the law. Often we hear of people getting in trouble and they end up being rap artists. Hip-hop history, as one person said it, hip-hop history is littered with litigation. It's a barely kept secret that semi-legal app operations have bankrolled more than a couple of the most successful rappers in the world, and when you blend that background with the genre's relentless need for reality raps and the flaunting of outrageous expensive possessions, and you have a situation that is already pretty primed for police involvement. Now, these are people who said this. People who said this are people who are big promoters of the music, interestingly enough. But I believe to listen to this music is to conform to the world. Many believers listen to this wicked form, genre of music, and they have no pang of conscience whatsoever. It's problematic. Why? Because I don't think God is looking down at rap music and saying, that's acceptable to me. How about New Age music? Some of you know what this is. Perhaps you've heard it and you didn't know what it is. This style of music is a little different than most styles that you hear out there, rock music, whatever. Rock music and jazz and country and rhythm and blues, rap, all the hip-hop, these things, these all appeal to the physical side of our body. So when people are dancing, they're dancing to the music. When they're feeling the music, they're feeling it physically. New Age music is different because New Age music appeals to the mind. So it affects the way that we think instead of affects the way that we act physically. So it appeals to the mind with its intricate, mindless noodlings, if you will, and haunting harmonies. You hear this oftentimes in places where you need to relax, like where? The dentist, yes. Subway. No, I'm kidding. Let's see, that's not a bad subway. You hear it at, the doctor's office and places like that where everybody's kind of tense and they don't know what's going to happen, you know, things like this. They hear this very calm, soothing music. Well, that, a lot of times it is New Age music. If it just kind of wanders and there's no purpose to it, a lot of times that's what that is. But there's a problem with it. It lacks what we call dissonance. There's natural dissonance in music. There's times when chords and notes will clash with each other. And the reason they clash is so that they can resolve from dissonance to consonance. We were pointing some of that out in choir practice tonight. There was some places where there was real strong dissonance, and I told the altos, really bring that dissonance out, because I want it to resolve, and people can go, oh, that was nice. Because that's what we do naturally. If you think about it, if everything was based on consonants, which was a lack of conflict, if you will, that's not a realistic view of life, is it? Have you ever been without conflict in your life? Will you ever be without conflict in your life? How many of you are married? Conflict, okay? It happens. The Bible calls it trouble in the flesh, all right? Nothing wrong with that. That's just part of life, okay? It's part of the way that we are as people. You get two people together, and they automatically butt heads about certain things. It's not a realistic view of life. Well, that's how New Age music tries to convey things. There's a unrealistic view of life in the sense that there's dissonance and a lack of dissonance, and it's all consonants. But also, a lot of the people who make the music admit that they get their ideas from what they call channeling. Well, channeling is demon possession. So they get their very musical ideas from the devil, if you will. And then they put it down on paper, they play it, they record it, whatever, and we listen to it. And I've known people, Christians, who listen to certain types of New Age music, and they say, boy, there's just something about that that I don't feel right about. Well, that's exactly why. It's because the basis of it is faulty. The basis of it is not acceptable to the Lord. So it's not this jarring, sensual feeling. There's just something in your mind. It's controlled by the music in a negative way. And obviously, believers need to be running away from that. Now, I could get into a lot of other things here, but let me move on to what I need to get to here so we can finish this up. Thirdly, I want you to see that conforming to the world through worldly music will be evident. You've heard about the idea of the frog being put in the boiling water, and he doesn't realize that it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter until he dies from the water being too hot. You've heard of that illustration. Well, I think that's really what's happened in our society with Christians. We've been around immorality, we've been around wickedness so long that we don't recognize the filth when we see it. We don't recognize the world when we see it. And as a result, we just get sucked right in. And we find ourselves being conformed to the image of the world without even realizing. And I think one of those ways is through music. Now let me just give you some examples of what I'm talking about here. Worldly music will manifest itself in the life of people. Let me give you some examples. First of all, how about violence? Do violent lyrics inspire violent acts? Well, what do the experts say? The American Academy of Pediatrics published an exhaustive report on the effect of media violence on teenagers and children, including violent lyrics and music. And the conclusion was sobering. Here's what they said. The strength of the association between media violence and aggressive behavior found in meta-analyses is nearly as strong as the association between cigarette smoking and lung cancer. So what they're saying is if you listen to violent lyrics, you're going to commit violent acts. If you listen to violent music, you're going to commit violent acts. That's their point here. And it's almost as strong of a possibility that you're going to do so as somebody who smokes cigarettes gonna get lung cancer. How does everybody that smokes cigarettes get lung cancer? The answer is no. Does everybody that listens to violence in rock music commit violent acts? And the answer is not necessarily. And these are the people that say, well, okay, as long as we're careful and as long as we give them an outlet for their violence, it's okay. What kind of thinking is that? We're going to let people just get themselves out of control. Oh, no, no. People need to be in control of their faculties and everything about them, their emotions. They shouldn't be responding violently to certain things. I mentioned another study, and I told you I was going to tell you about this. They put, three rats in a maze. Studied this, three rats in a maze. And they studied them for about 30 days. And in one of the mazes, they put a rat that didn't listen to any music at all. They just put him in there and let him try to wander around and find his way out of the maze. The second one, they put classical music in with the rat, and they played classical music while he ran through the maze. And in the last one, the last maze, the rats were exposed to rock music, and they just played rock music to the rat. Well, as the month went on, they found that the rat who didn't have any music at all got a little faster. In fact, he cut his time in half getting through the maze. He made it from like 10 minutes down to 5 minutes. The rat that was listening to classical music went from like 3 minutes down to like a minute and a half. So he was pretty quick. The mazes were all the same, by the way. And did it pretty quick after 30 days. The rats that were listening to rock music, interestingly enough, by the end of the 30 days, it was taking them about 30 minutes to get through the maze. And by the time they got done, they ended up eating each other. Interesting. Well, what do you think that music's doing to people's brains? If it's doing that to rats, what can it do to people? A lot of times when music was played back in the 70s and 80s, there were huge riots that broke out because people were responding fleshly to the music. And still, even today, you'll find that after people listen to certain styles of music, they do respond negatively to certain things. It's because of the state of imbalance that music puts them in. So violence is a problem. Things that people say. Many people get their sayings and specific things to talk about from the music that they listen to. Certain themes, certain styles, certain artists that people talk about comes right out of the music world. And that's what they live for. You can tell they listen to certain people. They listen to certain styles of music by the way that they dress, by the way that they wear their hair, things like that. It's obvious that they're doing that. They're just following after their heroes. And oftentimes you'll hear people saying things, talking about the latest song or their favorite one as it relates to a specific circumstance or something. So the things that are said, how about the matter of immorality? There are many instances and many studies that have linked the two together. The wrong kind of music and immorality. Talking about fornication, adultery. People use music and are affected by the music to justify their immoral behavior. One man was involved in an immoral relationship outside of his marriage, and he would travel about 10 hours to get to a certain individual to see her. And as he traveled, he listened to rock and roll the whole way. And he told of his own testimony, he said, basically, it took away my guilt. Listening to that music took away my guilt so that I could justify my wrong behavior when I got there. Now, again, that's not saying that everybody is going to be involved in things like that, but what it does is it dumbs down our thinking, and it is not something that is acceptable to the Lord. Addictions. It's interesting to note the correlation between certain wicked styles of music and certain addictions that people have. Drug use is rampant. Drinking and alcoholism, drunkenness is an epidemic problem among performers. Adultery and homosexuality are regular occurrences among them. And when you throw the rules out the window when it comes to music, which has been done with certain styles, then you throw out the conscience, which then excuses wicked music choices. Another issue is the suicide rate is higher with certain styles of music than others. No, it's been known to affect people in a very negative way because of depression and things like that. And then I think probably the biggest problem of all is just simply rebellion. Rebellion against authority. Rebellion against God is also a huge problem. When people are addicted to their music, then it's difficult to give it up. And it doesn't matter what people say. They could prove to them that it's wrong over and over and over again, but because of their addiction to it, they simply refuse to give it up. And this also then affects them in other areas of their lives as well. I've counseled many, many, many teenagers. I've counseled many adults who they will point to the fact that their rebellion stemmed right out of the music that they listened to. I've talked to parents who are struggling with their children, and I say, well, what kind of music are you listening to? They say, well, you know, this style of music or whatever, which is rebellious, which goes against God's norms. I can tell you right now, that's an issue. That's a problem for them. I've had teenagers come to me and sit stacks of CDs in front of me and say, I want you to tell me if there's anything wrong with these. Well, I don't have to tell you that. If you're bringing them to me to ask me, you already know that they're wrong. Because otherwise you wouldn't be asking me. See, it encourages this rebellious lifestyle, this rebellious thinking. And as a result, it affects them not just in the area of music, but it affects them in their whole life, in every area of their life. Not just to the Lord, but to authority. You find teenagers that struggle with doing what their parents want them to do. Many times you can point to the fact that they're not listening to the right kind of music. Parents should go and do some digging to find out if that's the case. Because oftentimes there's a connection between the two. Finally, let's just wrap this up here quickly. To listen to the world's music will affect our relationship with God. It affects us because, first of all, worldliness is enmity with God. James chapter 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Listen, my friend, you don't want to be on the opposite side of God in a battle because you're going to lose every time. But when you are worldly, you are putting yourselves at odds with the Lord. You're putting yourselves at enmity with God. It's a very, very serious sin. And if I'm conforming to the world through my musical choices, then I'm putting myself on the battlefield against the Lord. Let me put it this way. I am committing treason because I am no longer fighting for God. I am fighting for the enemy. And that, my friends, is a very serious matter. Secondly, if I'm worldly and conforming to the world, then I won't know God's perfect will for my life. I've already mentioned that. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Every single one of us ought to know what God's perfect will is for our lives. Every single one of us ought to know. But we won't if we're conformed to the world. If we're conformed to the image of the world, and the world is part of our lives. By the way, let me just mention finally here that it doesn't matter if I try to make it Christian by putting Christian words to it, it's still wrong. If the style of music is wrong, then it's all the way wrong. It doesn't matter what the words say. The Christian words cannot somehow clean up sensuality, immorality. It can't. And when our music communicates something, and that something is moral or immoral, I have to be very careful that I don't put Christian words to immorality, because it does not work. It never has, and it never will. All I'm simply doing is trying to Christianize my worldliness, if I can put it that way. So, are you mad at me yet? Are we conforming to the world through our musical choices? don't be mad at me. Just think about what I've said here. Because we really have to get a hold of this. We really have to get a hold of the idea that, you know what, worldliness is not acceptable for believers. And if we are conforming to the world and the world's ideas and the world's philosophies and the world's thinking, then we are doing great damage to the cause of Christ. Because we cannot know God's perfect, acceptable, and good will. Because we're conformed to the image of the world. Let's bow our heads in prayer, can we?